and back up. "You're not leaving," he growls. "Yes, I am," I shout, yanking them back down. "Put the fucking clothes back, Ava." I hear a rip of material as I fight him away, and within a few seconds, my arms are free of clothes and I'm being hauled from the wardrobe. I'm pinned to the bed, struggling against him in complete defiance, but I go nowhere. If he tries to fuck me, I'll scream.
"Calm the fuck down,"
he yells, grabbing my jaw and pulling it to the center so I have to look at him. I slam my eyes shut, puffing and panting like an exhausted greyhound. I'm not going to let him manipulate me with sex.
"Open your eyes, Ava."
"No." I sound so childish. But I know if I do, I'll be swallowed up in lust.
"Open."
He shakes my jaw slightly.
"No."
"Fine," he shouts, while I continue to struggle.
"Listen to me, lady. You're not going anywhere. I've told you repeatedly, so start fucking dealing with it."
He shifts his body so he has a firmer grip on me.
"I'm going to the manor, and when I get back, we're going to sit down and talk about us."
I stop struggling. Talk about us? What? Like a proper discussion about what the hell is going on here? Because I'm desperate to know this.
"Cards on the table, Ava. No more fucking about, no more drunken confessions, and no more holding out on me. Do you understand?"
His breathing is heavy, his tone determined. This is what I've wanted all along, clarity and understanding of our relationship. I'm so bloody confused. I need to know what all this is, and then maybe I can work out whether I need to break away. And what's this about drunken confessions and holding out? I open my eyes to Sludgy Green gazing down at me. He relaxes his grip on my jaw.
"Come with me. I need you with me."
He's almost pleading. "Why?"
"I just do. Why won't you come?"
I take a deep breath. I don't feel comfortable.
"Why don't you feel comfortable?"
"I just don't," I snap. His brow knits and he commences lip chomping.
"Please, Ava."
I shake my head. "I'm not coming." He sighs.
"Promise me that you'll be here when I get home then. We need to sort this shit out."
"I'll be here," I assure him. I'm desperate to sort this shit out too. I'm not going anywhere.
"Thank you,"
he whispers, resting his forehead on mine and clenching his eyes shut. I feel immense hope blossoming inside me at his determination to sort this shit out. He lifts himself, without so much as kissing me, grabs his phone and leaves the room. I stay on the bed, recovering from my pointless physical battle, wondering what's going to be established from the laying of cards and sorting of shit. I'm torn between admitting to him how I feel or waiting to hear what he has to say first. What will he say? So much needs clarifying. What is us? Intense, hot affair or more? I need it to be more, but I can't cope with his trampling and unreasonableness. It's exhausting. There was no denying the look of pure torment on his handsome face. What's running through that complex mind of his? Why does he need me? So many questions. I close my eyes, trying to re-establish some steady breaths, and find myself drifting into a semi-exhausted coma. But the phone next to the bed starts ringing, snapping my eyes open. "Kate." I scramble up the bed and answer.
"Send her up, Clive."
I fling a t-shirt on and run down the stairs, throwing the door open as Kate exits the elevator. I'm so glad to see her, but why he thinks I need babysitting is beyond me. I run at her, flinging my arms around her desperately.
"Whoa, is someone happy to see me?"
She returns my violent hug, my face buried in her red locks. I didn't realize how much I needed to see her.
Are you going to invite me into the tower, or are we staying put?
I pull away. Oh, sorry. I blow my hair out of my face. I'm a mess, Kate. And you've been letting men rummage through my things again, I add on a scowl.
Ava, he turned up at 6 in the morning, banging until Sam answered. I just let him do his thing. It's not like anyone can stop him. The man's a rhinoceros.
He's more than that. She looks at me all sorrowful, taking my hand and leading me back into the penthouse.
I can't believe he lives here, she mutters, directing me into the kitchen.
Sit, she points to a stool. I rest my backside on the seat, watching as Kate refreshes her memory of the impressive kitchen. I can't make you tea because he has no milk. The housekeeper is on holiday.
He has a housekeeper, she says to herself. Of course he does.
She shakes her head and goes to the fridge, collecting 2 bottles of water before coming to sit next to me.
What's going on?
What am I going to do, Kate? I rest my head in my hands. I can't believe he called you here, just so I don't leave.
Doesn't that tell you something?
Yes, but he's a control freak. He's so intense. I look up to Kate, who's smiling faintly. What's there to smile about? I'm in turmoil here. I don't know where I am with him.
Have you told him?
She asks, with a perfectly plucked brow arched at me. No, I can't.
Why? She blurts.
Kate, I don't know what I am to him. He can be so gentle and loving, saying things I can't get my head around, and the next minute he's brutally fierce, unreasonable, and controlling. He tries to control me. I open my water, taking a swig to moisten my dry mouth. He manipulates me with sex when I don't jump at his command, tramples anyone, including me, if they get in his way. He's bordering on impossible. Kate looks at me with compassion in her bright blues.
Sam told me he's never seen Jesse like this before. Apparently, he's famed for his easygoing nature.
I laugh. I could describe Jesse with many words. Easygoing would not feature anywhere on my list.
Kate, he's not easygoing, trust me.
You obviously bring out the worst in him, she smiles.
Obviously, I agree. He brings out the worst in me too. He hates me swearing, so I do it more. He has an issue with exposing my flesh to anyone other than him, so I wear shorter dresses. He tells me not to get drunk, so I do. It's not healthy, Kate. One second he tells me that he loves having me around, the next I'm his current fuck. What am I supposed to think?
But you're still here, she says thoughtfully. And you're not going to get any answers if you don't ask the damn questions.
I do ask questions.
The right ones?
What are the right questions?
I look at my best friend and wonder why she's not kidnapping me from the tower and hiding me away from Jesse. She's seen him in action. Surely that would be enough for my best friend to intervene.
Why are you not telling me to leg it? I ask suspiciously.
Is it because he bought you a van?
Don't be stupid, Ava. I would toss that van right back at him if you wanted me to. You're more important.
I'm not telling you to leg it, because I know you don't want to.
What you need to be doing is telling him how you feel, negotiating acceptable levels of intensity.
She grins.
In the bedroom is fine, yes?
I smile. He said he'd make sure I always need him. He has. I really need him, Kate.
Talk to him, Ava.
She gives me a little nudge on the shoulder.
You can't go on like this.
She shakes her head. I definitely can't go on like this. I'll be in an asylum within a month. My heart and brain are being yanked from one side to the other by the hour. If it means slapping my heart down on the table for him to trample all over, then so be it. At least I'll know where I am. I'll recover. Eventually, I think. I stand up. Will you take me to the manor? I ask. I need to do this now before I bottle it. I need to tell him how I feel. Kate springs from the stool. Yes, she sings enthusiastically. I've been dying to see this place. It's a hotel, Kate. I roll my eyes, but let her have her excitement. My car's at hers, so I'm kind of stuck without her. Give me 5. I run upstairs to change into my jeans and ballet pumps, meeting Kate at the front door in record time. I send Jesse a quick text to tell him I'm on my way. It's time to lay my cards on the table. Chapter 31. We walk into the Sunday evening sunshine, but I don't see Margot Jr. I scan the car park for the big pink van, but it's not like you can miss the giant heap of metal. Oh, I hope you don't mind, Kate laughs nervously, just as I spot my Mini, roof down and parked in one of Jessie's spaces. You're a cheeky cow. She waves off my insult. Don't you narrow those big browns on me, Ava O'Shea. If I didn't drive her, then she would be sitting outside the house for eternity. It's a waste. The indicators flash, and I put my hand out for the keys, which she reluctantly hands over on a huff. We drive out toward the Surrey Hills, discussing the merits of domineering men. We both reach the same conclusion. Yes to sex, and no to all other aspects of a relationship. The problem is, Jessie manages to drag sex into all aspects of our relationship, using it mostly to get his way. This could all be over within an hour. And even though his overbearing ways are difficult to deal with, the thought sends an unbearable ache to my stomach. But I have to be sensible here. I'm already in way over my head. I pull off the main road, up to the gates, and they open immediately, letting me through. Holy shit! Kate exclaims as we drive up the long gravel driveway flanked by trees. She's in awe already, and she hasn't even seen the house yet. We eventually emerge into the courtyard. It's busy. Holy fucking shit! She gapes at the imposing property leaning forward in her seat. Jesse owns this? He does. There's Sam's car. I pull into a space next to the Porsche. I can't believe he comes here to have lunch, she grumbles, joining me on my side of the car. Holy fucking shit! I laugh at Kate's amazement. She doesn't shock easily. I lead her toward the steps, expecting to find John greeting us, but he doesn't appear. Instead, I find the double doors ajar, so I push my way through, looking back at Kate. She's gazing around, open-mouthed and wide-eyed. Kate, shut your mouth. I scorn her lightly. Sorry, she snaps her mouth shut. This is one fancy place. I know. I want a tour, she says, craning her neck to look up at the stairs. Get Sam to give you a tour, I say. I need to see Jesse. I head past the restaurant and toward the bar, spotting Sam and Drew immediately. Sam gives me a huge, cheeky grin as he swigs his beer, but spits it out when Kate follows in behind me. Fuck! What are you doing here? He splutters. Drew turns, clocks Kate, and breaks out in uncontrollable laughter. I frown, and Kate looks less than delighted. I'm pleased to see you too, Dick, she spits indignantly at a stunned Sam. He quickly shoves his beer on the bar, pulling a stool up close to him. Sit, he bashes the top of the stool, giving Drew a worried look. Don't order me about, Samuel. The look of disgust on her face is fierce. I've never seen Sam so twitchy before. He pats the stool again, smiling nervously at her.
Please?
Kate makes her way over, resting her bum on the stool, and Sam pulls her even closer. She'll be on his lap soon.
Buy me a drink, she demands on a half-smile.
Just one, he affirms, signalling to Mario. Jesus, he's breaking out in a sweat.
Ava?
No, I'm good. I'm going to find Jesse. I thumb over my shoulder as I start walking backward.
Does he know you're here?
Sam asks, all wide-eyed.
What's the matter with him?
I sent him a text. I glance around the bar, seeing plenty of familiar faces from my previous few visits to the manor. I'm pleased to note there's no Sarah, but this means nothing, of course. She could be anywhere in this huge house.
But he didn't reply,
I add. It's only now I realize how strange that is. Sam gives Drew a nervous look, prompting Drew to laugh harder.
Wait here, I'll go get him.
I know where his office is, I say on a frown.
Ava, will you just wait here?
Sam's face is pure panic. It makes me suspicious. He fixes Kate with a stern glare as he gets up.
Don't move.
How much have you had to drink? Kate asks, eyeing his bottle of beer. Has Kate picked up on his unease, too?
This is my first and last, trust me. I'm going to get Jesse, then we're leaving.
He looks around the bar nervously. I'm convinced he's hiding someone or something. I'm beginning to wish Sarah was in here, because then I would know for sure that she isn't with Jesse. He jogs off, leaving Kate and I exchanging puzzled faces.
Excuse me, ladies. Drew gets up. Nature calls.
He leaves us at the bar like a couple of spare parts.
Oh, fuck this, Kate exclaims, taking my hand. Give me a tour.
She pulls me back toward the entrance hall.
A quick one, I agree, taking over the lead and guiding her up the massive staircase. I'll show you the rooms I'm working on.
We reach the balcony landing, and Kate's gasps increase as she takes in the opulent splendor of the manor.
This is some serious special, she mumbles, gazing around in awe.
I know. He inherited the place from his uncle when he was 21.
21? Wow, Kate blurts.
I look behind me, finding her gawking at the huge stained glass window at the foot of the second staircase.
This way,
I call behind me, walking through the archway that leads to the extension rooms, leaving Kate to scuttle after me.
There are 10 altogether.
She follows me into the middle of the last room, gazing around. I can't deny, they are mighty impressive, even as empty shells. Once completed, though, they'll be royal worthy. But will I get through to completion? After our little sorting of shit, I might not see this place again. I can't say that would disappoint me. I don't like coming here.
I wander farther into the room and follow Kate's gaze to the wall behind the door. What's that?
Kate asks the question that's batting around in my own head.
I don't know. It wasn't here before.
I run my eyes over the huge wooden crucifix-style cross propped up against the wall. With giant black wrought iron screw eyes bolted to the corners, it looks imposing, but it's still a fine piece of art.
It must be one of the big wall hangings that Jesse was talking about.
I approach the piece, running my hand over the highly polished wood. It's spectacular, if a little intimidating.
Oh, sorry, ladies.
We both swing around, finding a middle-aged man in overalls, holding a sander in one hand and a coffee in the other.
Looks good, eh?
He points up at the frame with his sander as he takes a slurp of his coffee.
I'm just checking the size before I make the others.
You made this? I ask in disbelief.
I certainly did,
he laughs, joining me by the cross. It's stunning, I muse. It'll fit in perfectly with the bed I designed that Jessie loved so much.
Thank you, miss,
he says proudly. I turn around and see Kate observing the piece of art on a frown.
We'll leave you to it. I give Kate the let's be going nod, and she smiles at the workman before following me out of the room.
We walk back through to the gallery landing.
I didn't get it, she grumbles.
It's art, Kate, I laugh.
What's up there?
I follow her gaze up the staircase to the top floor, stopping to look with her. Those intimidating doors are slightly ajar.
I don't know. I think it might be a function room.
Kate takes the stairs.
Let's have a look.
Kate,
I start after her.
Kate, come on.
Just a peek,
she says, pushing against the doors.
Fuck,
she screeches.
Ava, look at this.
Okay, my curiosity has been well and truly teased. I run the rest of the way up the stairs and into the function room, skidding to an abrupt halt next to Kate.
Fucking hell.
Excuse me.
We both look in the direction of the foreign-accented voice, and a dumpy lady holding cleaning cloths and antibacterial spray comes wobbling toward us.
No, 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 I clean. The communal room is closed for cleaning.
She shoos us back toward the door.
Chill out, senorita, Kate says with a laugh. Her boyfriend owns the place.
The poor woman recoils at Kate's harshness, giving me the once-over before bowing.
I'm so sorry.
She shoves the spray in her apron and clasps my hands in her tanned, wrinkled fingers.
Mr. Ward, he no say you come.
I fidget uncomfortably on the spot at the woman's panic, throwing Kate a disgusted look, but she doesn't notice. She's too busy looking around at the colossal room we're standing in. I smile reassuringly at the Spanish cleaner who's got herself in a bit of a pickle over my presence.
It's fine, really, I assure her.
She bows again, moving off to the side, leaving Kate and me to try and comprehend our surroundings. I gaze around, and the first thing that strikes me is how beautiful the room is. Just like the rest of the house, this room has been lavished with beautiful materials and furniture. The space is huge, easily spanning half of the entire building's floor area. And as I look around, I realize that it backs onto itself, circling around the stairwell. We've entered the center of the room. The ceiling is high and vaulted, and wooden beams stretch from end to end, with over-elaborate gold chandeliers hanging between them, offering a hazy glow of light. The room is dominated by three arched Georgian sash windows, dressed in crimson, with blinds edged in gold jute braid. Miles and miles of gold silk, piped in crimson braid, is softly gathered and held in place at the sides by simple gold ombre, and the deep red walls provide a dramatic backdrop for elaborately dressed beds that are positioned around the room.
Beds? Ava, something tells me this isn't a function room, Kate whispers.
She starts to wander off to the right, while I remain frozen in place, trying to grasp what I'm looking at. It's an immense, super-luxurious communal bedroom. The communal room. The walls are free of paintings, allowing space for various gold metal frames, hooks and hoists, which all look innocent enough, like extravagant wall hangings. But as my mind starts to recover from its shocked state, the significance of the room and its contents starts to filter into my brain. A million reasons try to distract me from the conclusion that I'm slowly drawing, but there is no other explanation for the devices and contraptions surrounding me. The delayed reaction finally crashes down.
Fucking hell,
I whisper to myself.
Watch your mouth.
His soft voice rolls over me, and I fly around to find him standing behind me, watching quietly, his hands in his jeans pockets, his face completely expressionless. My tongue is like lead in my mouth as I search my brain for something to say. What can I say? My head is invaded with a million memories of the last few weeks, all of the times that I've brushed things off, ignored things, or more to the point, been distracted from things. Things he said, things other people have said, things I thought odd, but didn't pursue because I was distracted by him. He's been distracting me this whole time. He's been going out of his way to keep all of this from me. What else is he keeping from me? Kate appears in my peripheral vision. I don't have to look at her to know she's probably displaying a similar facial expression to mine. But I can't drag my eyes away from Jesse to be sure. He flicks his gaze in Kate's direction, smiling at her nervously, just as Sam barges into the room. Oh, fucking hell, I thought I told you to stay put, he shouts, fixing Kate with a furious glare. Damn you, woman! I think we need to go, Kate says quietly, walking toward Sam and taking his hand to lead him out of the room. Thank you. Jesse nods at them, before returning his eyes to me. His shoulders are slightly raised, signaling his tension. He looks really worried. He should be. I hear Kate and Sam's hushed, angry whispers as they take the stairs, leaving us alone in the communal room. The communal room. It all makes sense now. That crucifix downstairs is no wall art. The strange grid-like contraption in the suite was no antique. The women sauntering around the place like they live here are not business women. Well, they might be, but not while they're here. Oh, God help me. I watch as Jesse's teeth start a vicious workout on his bottom lip. My strained heartbeats are quickening by the second. This certainly explains the thoughtful moments he's been drifting in and out of over the last few days. He must have known I would find out. Was he ever going to tell me? He drops his eyes to the floor. Ava, why didn't you wait at home for me? My shock starts to simmer into anger as everything starts clicking into place. You wanted me to come, I remind him. Not like this. I sent you a text. I told you I was on my way. He frowns. Ava, I haven't received a text from you. Where's your phone? It's in my office. I go to retrieve my mobile, but then his words from this morning seep back into my brain. Is this what you wanted to talk about? He lifts his eyes back up to mine, and there's no mistaking the regret in them. He didn't want to talk about us at all. He wanted to talk about all this shit. It was time you knew. My eyes widen. No, it was time for me to know a long time ago, Jesse. Fuck! Watch your mouth, Ava, he scolds me gently. Don't you dare, I cry, slapping the heel of my hand against my forehead. Fuck, fuck, fuck! Watch, don't, I pin him with a fierce glare. Jesse, don't you dare tell me to watch my mouth! I gesture around the room. Look! I see it, Ava. His voice is soft and placating, but it's not going to calm me down. Why didn't you tell me? Oh my God, he's a glorified pimp. I thought you would have grasped the manor's operations on our first meeting, Ava. When it became obvious that you hadn't, it just got harder and harder to tell you. My head hurts. This is like the 1,000 pieces of a jigsaw puzzle slowly clicking into place. He must think I'm something else. He dropped enough hints with his specifications and requirements, but because I was so distracted by him, I missed them all. He owns a sex club? This is fucking awful. And the sex? Oh God, the bloody sex. He really is a sexpert extraordinaire, and it's not because of previous relationships. He said himself that he didn't have time for relationships. Now I know why.
I'm going to leave now, and you're going to let me go. I say it with all of the determination I feel. I really have been a play toy to him. I'm way past tense. I'm completely brainless.
He's still frantically chewing his lip as I sidestep him, taking the stairs in a complete daze.
Ava, wait, he pleads, following me. I'm swiftly reminded of the last time I fled here. I should have kept running.
I block out his voice, concentrating on getting myself to the entrance hall without breaking my leg in a fall. I pass the first floor bedrooms and mentally slap myself again.
Ava, baby, please.
I reach the bottom of the stairs and fly around to face him.
Don't even think about it, I shout at him.
He recoils in shock.
You'll let me leave.
You've not even given me the chance to explain. His eyes are wide and full of fear. It's not an expression I'm familiar with from Jesse.
Please, let me explain.
Explain what? I've seen everything I need to see, I shout. No explanation required. He steps toward me with his hands out.
You weren't supposed to find out like this.
I'm suddenly aware of an audience watching our little altercation. Sam, Drew, and Kate are all standing at the bar entrance looking uncomfortable, pitiful even, and John looks grave as he assesses Jesse. And then there's Sarah. She looks as smug as can be. I know now that she must have picked up my message on Jesse's phone. She opened the gates, and she opened the door. She's got her way. She can have him.
I don't recognize the snide, cocky-looking man standing next to her, but he's looking at me with an unfriendly glare.
I watch him turn his eyes on Jesse with a sneer.
What a fuck-up you really are, he spits at Jesse's back, his tone full of hatred.
Who the hell is he?
I watch as John grabs him by the scruff of the neck, shaking him a little.
You're no longer a member, motherfucker. I'll be escorting you from the grounds.
The cocky creature laughs a cold, sinister laugh.
Be my guest. Looks like your tart has seen the light, Ward, he hisses.
Jesse's eyes turn black in a nanosecond.
Shut the fuck up, John growls.
Revoked membership, I whisper. He got too excited.
The man directs his cold eyes back at me.
He takes what he wants and leaves a trail of shit behind him, he snarls, his words punching all the air from my lungs.
I notice Jesse stiffen from head to toe.
He fucks them all and fucks them off.
Turning my gaze back on Jesse, I find his eyes are still black, his frown line a burden on his forehead.
Why?
I ask. I don't know why I'm asking this. It's not going to make a jot of difference. But I feel I deserve some sort of explanation. He fucks them all, once, and fucks them off.
Don't listen to him, Ava.
Jesse steps forward, his jaw tense to snapping point.
Ask him how my wife is, the nasty piece of work spits. He did the same to her as he did to all the others. Husbands and conscience don't get in his way.
And that's all it takes to tip Jesse over the edge. He turns and flies at the man like a bullet, taking him clean from John's grasp and to the parquet floor in a loud crash. Sam yanks Kate back, and there are a few gasps as everyone watches Jesse kick 10 tons of shit out of the man. I'm not compelled to scream at him to stop, even though he looks like he could possibly kill him. I walk out of the manor, get in my car, and wait when I see Kate fly down the steps. She jumps in but doesn't say a word. When we reach the gates, they open without me stopping. I'm surprised. I was preparing to ram them down.
Sam, Kate says when I look at her, he said we're better off out of here.
I hadn't considered until now that all of this is news to Kate as well. She seems ever the laid back. Take it in her stride, Kate. I, however, feel like I'm free-falling into hell. Chapter 32. I walk through Kate's front door and straight upstairs to the flat like a zombie. Kate makes no attempt to try and extract more information from me, instead letting me fall onto the sofa in a tear-stained heap. My eyes widen when the front door slams and Kate runs out to the banister. "It's just Sam," she reassures me as she comes back into the lounge. "He has a key?" I ask. Kate shrugs it off, but this small snippet of news has me smiling to myself. Will she take it back in light of this newfound knowledge? My phone rings again, and I reject the call. Again. Sam steams into the lounge, looking as nervous as he did at the manor. We both look up at him as he does a little tennis spectator impression, flicking his eyes from me to Kate and back again a few times, before stalking over to Kate and all but hauling her out of the lounge by her elbow. "We need to talk," he says urgently. I crane my neck around, watching as he practically throws her into the bedroom, slamming the door behind him. I lie on the sofa, my tea resting on my stomach, and close my eyes. They don't stay shut for long. Mental images of Jesse are imprinted on my brain. I'm never going to be able to sleep again. My phone starts again, and reaching down I stab the reject button, staring up at the swirly Artex ceiling of the lounge. I've never felt pain like this before. It's excruciating and way beyond fixable. He owns a fucking sex club? Why couldn't he be a banker or a financial advisor or a hotel owner? I knew there was something wrong, something dangerous. Why didn't I take a few moments to try and gather my senses? I know exactly why. Because I wasn't allowed to. I wasn't given a chance to. I sit up when I hear Kate's high shrill voice travel across the landing, followed by Sam's placating tones trying to calm her down. She flies out of her room with Sam in tow, struggling to pull her back. "Get your fucking hands off me, Samuel. She needs to know." "Wait a minute, Kate." "Ah! What the fuck did you do that for?" Kate retrieves her knee from Sam's groin, leaving him in a folded, groaning mess on the landing, before barging into the lounge and punching me with her blue stare. "What?" I ask apprehensively. "What do I need to know now?" She throws Sam a filthy look when he appears at the lounge door, grasping his groin, and then points at a chair aggressively, silently demanding he sit. He limps over, lowering himself on a painful hiss. "Ava, he's on his way over," she tells me calmly. I don't know why she chooses this tone. It's not going to calm me. Not at all. I gasp, looking at Sam in the chair, who's refusing to meet my eyes. He wasn't going to tell me. I was stupid to think Jesse would make this easy. "I need to leave," I wail as my damn phone starts again. "Fuck off," I shout at the stupid thing. "Take her," Kate swings around to Sam. "She's in no state to drive." "Oh no, not me." He holds his hands up, shaking his head. "It's more than my life's worth. Anyway, I need to talk to you." He jerks his head toward Kate. We all jump at the sound of an almighty crash at the door, my heart promptly leaping into my throat as I look at Kate. Sam groans, and it's not because of the pain Kate's inflicted on him. "You dirty little turncoat," she mutters angrily, piercing Sam with her sharp blue eyes. "Hey, I didn't say a fucking word." He's on the major defensive. "It wouldn't take a fucking rocket scientist to work out where she is." "Don't answer it, Kate," I plead. A combination of more bangs play out on the front door. God, I don't want to see him. My defenses are not strong enough right now. I jump at a succession of more bangs, followed by a chorus of car horns.
For fuck's sake!
Kate yells, running across the room to look out of the window.
Shit!
She pulls the blind up, getting up close and personal with a glass.
What?
I join her at the window. I know it's him, but what's with a racket?
Look!
She yells, pointing down below. I force my eyes to follow her hand and see Jesse's car abandoned in the middle of the street, his driver's door wide open, and a line of traffic starting to build up behind it. He's not left enough room for cars to pass, causing tempers to flare and car horns to honk. It's all clearly audible from up here.
Ava!
I hear him bellow, proceeding to thump the door a few more times.
Oh, fucking hell, Ava, Kate carps. That man's a walking, talking detonate button, and you've just pressed it.
She starts stalking out of the lounge. I rush after her.
I pressed nothing, Kate. Don't answer the door.
I lean over the banister, watching Kate fly down the stairs to the front door.
I can't just leave him out there causing anarchy on the street.
I panic and run back into the lounge, passing Sam, who's still in the chair rubbing his sore spot, mumbling inaudible words.
Why didn't you tell Kate?
I ask him sharply on my way back to the window. I'm sorry, Ava.
You need to apologize to Kate, not me.
I turn back, finding no trace of the fun-loving, cheeky chap whom I've become so fond of. Instead, there's a tense, uneasy, timid man.
I have apologized. And I couldn't very well tell her until Jesse told you. You should know. This has been eating away at him since he met you.
I laugh at Sam's attempt to defend his friend and look out of the window again. Jesse is still pacing outside, clearly desperate, smashing the buttons of his mobile. I know who he's calling, and like I knew it would, my phone starts shouting in my hand. I stare down onto the street, panic flooding me when a driver from one of the held-up cars gets out. Kate walks out, waving her arms at Jesse. He ignores the driver who's approached, turning to Kate instead. His hand gestures are urgent as they speak, and after a few minutes, Jesse gets in his car. Relief washes over my entire being, but he only moves it slightly so it's parked in a more considerate fashion, allowing the other motorists to pass.
Oh God, Kate, what have you done?
I yell at the window.
What's going on?
Sam asks from his chair. I don't answer him. I stand, unable to move, watching as Jesse leans up against my car, his head dropped in defeat, his arms hanging by his sides. He looks up at Kate, and even from here I can see the anguish riddling his face. She reaches over to him, rubbing her palm up and down his arm. It's a gesture of comfort. It's killing me. After an eternity of watching them on the street, Kate finally turns, making her way back to the flat, but to my utter horror, Jesse starts to follow, and Kate makes no attempt to stop him.
Shit! No!
I exclaim, throwing my hands to my head in dread.
What? Sam shouts anxiously. Ava, what?
I quickly consider my options, but it doesn't take long because there are none, except to stand here and await the confrontation. There is only one way in and one way out of this flat, and with Jesse on his way in, any plans to escape the inevitable altercation are totally flawed. Kate walks into the lounge, looking rather sheepish. I'm furious with her, and she knows it. I pin her with my most filthy stare as she smiles at me nervously. Just hear him out, Ava. The man's a mess. She shakes her head sorrowfully, then looks at Sam, her expression changing instantly.
You get in the kitchen.
Sam scowls.
I can't fucking move, you evil cow.
He rubs himself again, rolling his head back on the chair. Kate huffs and pulls him up as he groans, closing his eyes and gingerly limping from the room.
I can't believe her.
She backs out of the room, giving me eyes full of sympathy. She wouldn't have to act so fucking sorry if she hadn't let him in.
The stupid, stupid woman.
I turn to face the window before he walks in. I can't look at him. I'll dissolve into tears if I do, and I don't want him to have any excuse to comfort me or wrap his big, warm arms around me. I brace myself for his voice to wash over me, every frazzled nerve ending buzzing and every muscle tense. For a while, I hear nothing. But as every hair on the back of my neck tingles, standing upright, I know he's near. My body's response to his potent presence has me closing my eyes, taking a deep breath and praying for strength.
Please, look at me, Ava.
His voice is quivering, full of emotion, and I swallow the tennis ball-sized lump in my throat, fighting back the barrage of tears that are pooling in my eyes.
Ava, please.
I feel his hand brush down the back of my arm. I flinch. Please don't touch me. I find the courage I need to turn around and face him. His head is dropped, his shoulders sagged. He looks pitiful, but I mustn't be swayed by his sorrowful state. I've been influenced too many times by manipulation, and this is just another form of manipulation, Jesse style. I've been so blinded with lust, I haven't been seeing straight. His glazed eyes pull themselves from the floor to meet mine.
Why did you even take me there? I ask.
Because I want you with me all of the time. I can't be away from you.
Well, you'd better get used to it, because I don't want to see you again.
My voice is calm and controlled, but the pain that slices through my heart in response to my own words is enough to floor me on the spot. His eyes swim, searching mine.
You don't mean that. I know you don't mean that.
I mean it. His chest is expanding on each deep inhale. His hair is in disarray, and his frown line is a crater across his forehead. The distress splashed across his face is like an ice spear through my heart.
I never meant to hurt you, he murmurs.
Well, you have. You've trampled into my life and trampled all over my heart. I tried to walk away. I knew there was more than meets the eye.
Why didn't you let me walk away?
My voice starts to trail off as the gravel in my throat starts to win the battle and tears start to pinch at my eyes.
Damn me, I should have listened to my instincts.
He starts chewing his bottom lip.
You never really wanted to walk away.
His voice is barely audible.
Yes, I did. I blurt on a sniffle. I fought you off. I knew I was heading for trouble, but you were relentless. What happened? Did you run out of married women to fuck?
He shakes his head.
No, I found you.
He steps forward, and I remove myself from his reach.
Get out, I say calmly, my body shaking, my breathing hitching, all evidence that I'm far from calm.
I barge past him, knocking his shoulder.
I can't. I need you, Ava.
His pleading voice is going to haunt me for the rest of my days. I swing around violently.
You don't need me. I fight to keep my voice solid. You want me.
Oh, God, you are a dominant, aren't you? Flashes of all our sexual encounters pass through my mind at 100 miles an hour. He's truly fierce in the bedroom and pretty fierce outside it, too.
No.
Why the control issue, then? And the commands?
The sex is just sex. I can't get close enough to you. The control is because I'm frightened to death that something will happen to you. That you'll be taken away from me. I've waited too long for you, Ava. I'll do anything to keep you safe. I've lived a life with little control or care. Believe me, I need you. Please, please don't leave me.
He walks toward me, but I step back, fighting the instinct to let him swathe me. He stops.
I'll never recover.
No! I can't believe he's being so cruel as to use emotional blackmail. Do you think this is going to be any easier for me? I scream, the tears starting to flow rapidly. The little colour that was left in his face drains out before my eyes, and he drops his head. He has no comeback to that. What can he say? He knows what he's done to me. He's made me need him. If I could change how I've handled things, I would, he whispers.
But you can't! The damage is done!
My tone oozes contempt. He looks up at me. The damage will be worse if you leave me.
Oh, God! Get out!
No, he shakes his head frantically, taking a step toward me. Ava, please, I'm begging you. I move away from him, mustering up my most determined expression, swallowing constantly to keep the lump in my throat at bay. This is so incredibly painful. This is exactly why I couldn't see him. I'm so angry with him. But seeing him so whitewashed is heartbreaking. I have to keep reminding myself that he's let me down in the cruelest way. He's misled me, deceived me, and essentially bullied me into bed with him. You let me fall in love with you. He stares at me, the pain in his sludgy eyes immeasurable. I'll cave if I don't look away, so I do. I drop my gaze to the floor and silently beg him to leave, before I fall apart and welcome the comfort he always gives me. Ava, look at me. I take a deep breath, turning my eyes to his. Goodbye, Jesse. Please, he mouths. I said, goodbye. The words carry an air of finality that I really do not mean. He searches my face for a long time, but he eventually abandons trying to find any scrap of hope in my eyes. He turns, and he silently leaves. I provide my lungs with the desperate rush of breath they need, walking on my unstable legs to the window. The front door slams, vibrating through the house, and Jesse appears, dragging himself to his semi-abandoned car. I flinch, letting out a sob as he smashes his fist through the window of his car, sending shards of glass spraying all over the road before he throws himself in and repeatedly punches the steering wheel. After what seems like years of watching him pound on his car, he roars off, tires screeching, car horns blaring. I get out of the shower and dry my hair before resuming fetal position on my bed. I'm completely numb. I feel like my heart has been ripped out, trampled on, and shoved back into my chest, a battered mess. I'm somewhere between grief and devastation, and it's the most painful thing I've ever experienced. My life has fallen apart. I feel empty, betrayed, lonely, and lost. The only person who can make any of this better is the person who's made it all happen. I don't feel like I'm ever going to recover from this. Ava? I lift my pounding head from my pillow and find Kate standing in the doorway. The sympathy on her face inflames the hurt a little bit more. She perches on the edge of the bed, stroking my cheek. It doesn't have to be like this, she says softly. How so? How can it be any other way? I just have to ride out this pain and see if I have the strength to deal with any of it. Start all over again. But at the moment, I'm content to just lay here feeling sorry for myself. Yes, it does, I reply on a whisper. No, it doesn't. She's firmer this time. You still love him. Admit you still love him. Did you tell him? I can't deny it. I do. I love him. So much it hurts. But I shouldn't love him. I know I shouldn't. I can't. I turn my face into my pillow. Why? He owns a sex club, Kate. He didn't know how to tell you. He was worried you would walk away. I look at Kate. Well, he didn't tell me, and I've still walked away. I settle back down into my tear-drenched pillow. You heard the man. He destroys marriages. He screws women for fun. Why are you not shocked? I mutter into my pillow. I know she's laid back, but this is shocking stuff. I am, a bit. You could have fooled me. Ava, Jesse is crazy about you. Sam never thought he'd see the day. Sam can say what he likes, Kate. It doesn't change the fact that he owns a place where people go to have sex, and he sometimes joins in. I shudder, feeling sick at the thought. You can't punish him because of his past. It's not his past, though, is it? He still owns the place. It's his business. Oh, leave me alone, Kate, I beg. Her defending all of this is just pissing me off. She should be supporting me, not trying to justify Jesse's misdemeanors. I feel her weight lift from the bed on a sigh. He's still Jesse, she says as she leaves my bedroom, and me alone to mourn my loss. I lay in silence, trying to rid my head of all the inevitable thoughts. It's no good. My brain is assaulted by flashbacks of the last few weeks, of our first meeting when he floored me, the texts and the calls, and then the stalking, and the sex. I flip myself onto my stomach, sinking my face into my pillow. Kate's words keep pinballing around in my mind. He's still Jesse. Do I even know who Jesse is? All I know is a man who swept me up in his intensity and blindsided me with his physical being. Another piece of the puzzle falls into place when I recall him telling me that he has no contact with his parents. They disowned him when his uncle died and Jesse refused to sell the manor. It makes sense now. It had nothing to do with the inheritance or sharing the estate, and all to do with their 21-year-old son being left to run a super posh sex club. Of course they would be concerned. Their disapproval of Jesse's relationship with Carmichael is absolutely warranted. Jesse said he was having the time of his life. What young man wouldn't be in a house where anything goes? He really has had lots of practice, and there's a distinct possibility that he really has never fucked a woman more than once. Apart from me. It doesn't take much intelligence to figure out why I was being scrutinized by all those women when I was at the manor. They all want him. No, they all want him again. He played it risky by taking me there, but when I think carefully, no one ever approached me. I was never alone, never free to roam. Did everyone know I was oblivious? Were they under instruction to keep quiet, to stay away? He really did go out of his way to keep me in the dark. How did he think he could get away with it? Sarah's comment on leathers. I push my face into the pillow in complete despair. Ava? I look up and see Sam standing in the doorway, looking as deflated as he was earlier. He beat himself up on a daily basis trying to think of how he could tell you. I've never seen him like this before. You mean rejected, I say sarcastically. No, I can't imagine Jesse Ward did get many knockbacks. No, I mean crazy about a woman. He's just crazy, Sam. He frowns, shaking his head. Yes, about you. Do you mind? He asks, standing at the edge of my bed. Help yourself, I grumble uncharitably. He perches on the edge of the bed. I've never seen him so serious. Ava, I've known Jesse for 8 years. Not once have I seen him behave like this over a woman. He's never had a relationship beyond sex, but you came along, And it's like he found purpose.
He's a different man. And while you might have been frustrated over his protectiveness, as a friend, I was happy to see him finally care so much to behave like that. Please, give him a chance.
He wasn't just protective, Sam.
Protectiveness is just the start of a long list of unreasonable ways.
He's still Jesse, Sam repeats Kate's words, looking at me pleadingly.
The manor is a business.
Yes, he mixed business with pleasure, but he had nothing else.
He smiles, picking up my hand in his.
If you can tell me that you can walk away from him, no second thoughts or regrets, then I'll shut up now and leave. If you can tell me that you don't love him, I'll walk away.
But I don't think you can.
You're shocked, I realize that. And yes, he has a history, but you can't ignore the fact that he adores you, Ava. It's written all over his face, expressed in everything he does.
Please, give him a chance.
He deserves a chance.
I'm trying to deal with something I just don't understand and probably never will.
He owns a sex club.
This drama doesn't feature into my idea of a normal, happily ever after.
He cares enough to behave like this? He adores me? Does adore equal love?
I ignored all of Jesse's pillow talk in the beginning, all the "you're mine" talk and rubbish about never letting me leave. He said the word love a lot, but not in the context I so desperately wanted to hear.
I love you in lace. I love sleepy sex with you. I love having you here.
Should I have looked further into all of it?
Was he telling me what I wanted to hear, but in a backward way?
He persistently sought reassurance from me that I would stay. If all he needed was comfort that I was staying put, then I did that plenty of times, didn't I? I always told him I would stay, but I didn't know about the manor then. And now I do, and I've left. He always wanted me in lace, not leather. He claimed me as his. He was possessive to the absolute maximum, unreasonably so. He always wanted to keep me covered, never wanting me to be exposed to anyone but him. Leather, sharing, and the exposure of female flesh must be a regular occurrence at the manor. Was he trying to make me the complete opposite of everything he knows? Everything he's used to?
I sit up. I need to talk to him.
I can get over the manor, I think, but I know for absolutely sure that I'll never get over Jesse. Seeing him so fraught and desperate must at least mean he's hurting. He wouldn't behave like that if I didn't mean something to him, would he?
So many questions, and there's only one place I'll find the answers. I owe myself those answers.
I look at Sam, and a small smile spreads across his cheeky face.
My work here is done, he mimics Jesse's words as he gets up on a little wince.
That evil cow.
I smile on the inside. This bombshell obviously hasn't affected Kate in the same way it has me.
I throw on the nearest clothes I can find and grab my car keys.
Tears flood my eyes and guilt punches a great hole in my stomach.
He was the one who wanted the cards on the table. He was going to tell me about the manor, but was there something else he wanted to tell me?
I hope so, because I'm on my way to find out.
Sarah's warning about building dreams on Jesse comes crashing back into my mind as I race down to my car.
Maybe she's right, but I can't live not knowing.
Chapter 33. I drive to Luso in a stupid fashion, overtaking, banging my car horn impatiently and running a few red lights. When I pull up at the docks, I see Jesse's car parked on an angle, spanning two of his allocated spaces. I abandon my Mini on the road, let myself in the pedestrian gate, thanking all things holy that I remember the code, and rush into the foyer, finding Clive at the concierge desk,
looking more cheerful than usual.
Ava, I finally got the hang of all this ruddy equipment,
he declares delightedly. I brace myself on the high marble counter to catch my breath.